B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Today, my guest is guitar legend Slash. He's out on tour right now with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. Normally, this part of the podcast, I play a couple clips to kind of wet your whistle as to what's to come. I'm only going to play you one clip today because this is what happened.
After those Guns dates, the festival dates, we'll be working on the record and doing.
Hello? We did get reconnected. We talk about brand new Guns N' Roses, as well as Duff's new record. How about Zakk Wylde auditioning for the band back in the mid-90s, and more with Slash from Guns N' Roses today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock. Talkin' Rock. Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
As always, a big thank you for checking out the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. If you dig this, make sure you give it a 5-star rating on Apple's and iTunes. Write a review. Share it with your friends as well. Really good one for you today. And coming up near the end of the episode, we'll tell you about the next episode of Talkin' Rock. Another really good one coming up for you later on this week. In the meantime, we've got Al Beck coming up with rock news here in just a bit. News about Ozzy, about Paul McCartney, Rolling Stones, and a ton more after our interview with Slash. But Slash, like I said before, is out touring with Miles Kennedy and the Conspirators. And he is going to be coming to my neck of the woods as I broadcast in Southeast Michigan over in Windsor, right across the river right there at Caesars Windsor, coming up on July 26th, a couple days after his birthday. And that's kind of where we started the conversation off. It's Slash today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast. Hope you guys dig this.
Hey, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing good. We're here in Detroit Rock City. Where are you, like in Brazil or somewhere?
I am in Brazil. I'm in Brasilia, the actual capital of Brazil.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, out there touring the big cities.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, there you go. So I see you're playing here, not exactly in Detroit Rock City, but at the Caesars Windsor coming up on July 26th. And I know that that's just a couple days after your birthday because my daughter was born on your birthday. I almost named her Slash, as a matter of fact, so...
Yeah, you did not.
No, I didn't.
But yeah. So it's a few days after my birthday. Yeah.
So you,
I will be a different age than I am now.
You played any big doings or what?
You know, I mean, I'm just having a blast out on the road, and I'm glad that my birthday is while I'm on the road because that's it goes by quicker.
Yeah.
I'm not one to really dwell on birthdays too much.
I got you there. So
but, yeah, everything's good.
Excellent. Touring out there with Miles Kennedy. Now, you know, I often wonder about the dichotomy of going from, you know, Guns N' Roses to your own stuff. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we haven't been doing it. It's been, it's been a few years now. It's a little bit of a juggling act. It's like you switch one on and then you're totally immersed in that and everything is about that. And then when that's takes a break or whatever, and you switch that off and then you turn the other one on and then you're totally immersed. It's all or nothing in either one. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. It's not hard or anything. It's not like there's a transition period or anything like that. It's just, I think because of the force of the having to do it that way, you just automatically do it. You just like do one and completely fucking, you know, get into that. And then when you go to do the other one, you just switch gears.
Now, this year's a little bit different because you do have some Guns N' Roses dates on festivals and stuff along with doing the Conspirators gigs, right?
Well, no, actually, the last shows that were the end of the tour is like August. It's in Orlando. I can't remember the exact date.
I got you. Okay.
End of the World on Fire tour. And then come September, October, we turn on the Guns thing, and then that goes from there. After those Guns dates, the festival dates, we'll be working on the record and doing.
Hello? Hey, you there, Slash?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's right. Come on. I got to have that. Well, that was kind of weird. It took a few minutes, about four, as a matter of fact, but we were finally reconnected with Slash, and it started off rocky, but we got back into it. Can you hear me? Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right. No, I was just saying it's the biggest cliffhanger I've ever had in an interview. You're like, you're talking about the brand new record, and also you just cut out, so...
I guess that must have been sort of active fate or something. No, well, so to finish what I was saying, so, when we finish the tour in the fall, then we will commit on working on, you know, what will end up being the next Guns record. So.
Yeah, last time I talked to you a few months back, you weren't really sure if you're going to do, you know, you were kind of saying never say never and stuff like that. So it's pretty much set in stone now. You guys are ready to go with the new record, or at least writing process and the whole thing.
Yeah, the thing is you know, we haven't really done anything yet, and I don't like to say anything like, oh yeah, you know how people used to promote shit and lie to the teeth.
Right.
I just wanted to be honest about it, and so there was really no telling what we were going to do at that point. But at this point, I do know that we're going to do this run, and we've already started working on stuff. So there you go.
Yeah, I know. Like there's rumors where you were like at Axl's house or something a few weeks ago or something. Can you comment on anything about that?
There was some. It's funny because there was a rumor that I was over there. Yeah, and it was before I'd even been there.
Okay.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, and that's just a pain in the ass and annoying. You know? But I am excited about what we got going on and everything. So it's going to be cool. It's awesome.
Well, it's really cool to hear like straight from your mouth, because you're right. There are so many rumors and people just spit stuff out on the internet, as you know, as you well know. But hey, I wanted to ask you about the tour. So you've done this tour now at GNR for a couple years and stuff. I mean, has the power and the sheer numbers of this tour and the people that have come out to see you, has that surprised you at all?
I mean, you know, I didn't know really what to expect. I think when we first got back together, it was more about us, you know, and then was this huge groundswell, you know, and it was pretty fucking amazing. It was a little bit of a shock. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's one thing to look at it on paper and go, a lot of people went to the concerts, but it's another thing to feel that kind of support and passion from people in a group setting that size. And really, it's something that you can really, it's a tangible feeling, you know, and people were just so into it. And it's different than like back in the day when Guns was playing stadiums and everybody showed up. It was a completely different vibe, because at that time it was like, oh, we're going to go to a Guns show, and everybody, you know, 60,000 people decided to go to a Guns show and listen to a couple songs and so on. But this particular tour, you know, starting in 2016 on, was like people coming for a bigger reason than that, and it was something you could definitely feel.
Yeah, and that show, of course, the stadium tour started right here in Detroit. Hey, no, I've only got a couple more minutes left, so I know you're doing a lot of interviews and stuff, and go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. So anyways, I know you only got a couple more minutes left here, so I just want to ask you a couple real quick things. Have you checked out Duff's new record yet?
I checked. Oh, yeah, Duff's new record. Yeah, it's good. He did it with Shooter, with somebody who we used to jam with back in the, I mean, really in the early Velvet Revolver days. Shooter's good people, and they put some great material together.
Now, I know that you've talked about this before, but you've seen the dirt and stuff. Is that supposed to be you in the one scene with Nikki?
Yeah. I talked to Nikki, and he told me that there was something in the movie before I'd seen it. And sort of a tip of the hat to me or something. And then when I saw the movie, I was like, oh, yeah. Because, I mean, there is some truth to that, you know, because Nikki was we were staying at the Franklin Apartments, and Nikki and myself and Steve Adler and my friend Mark Mansfield had gone to the Cat House. And we ran, and Mark knew where to get some snack, and we went back to the Franklin Apartments, and I was drunk, so I just passed out. And then my girlfriend woke me up to tell me that Nikki had OD'd, and he was in the next apartment over in Steve's apartment, and Mark Mansfield was the one that had the snack, and he took off, and then the paramedics came, and they had to pick me up and put me in the shower so I could get coherent enough to be able to talk to them. It was a whole thing. So that's what that story was leading to.
All right, final question. I was thinking about this earlier, so I asked Axl about this in 2004, and actually, I think he might have even brought it up when I was doing an interview with him one time, but is it true that you and Zach Wilde were actually jamming at one point, considering it might possibly putting Zach in the band with Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, there's some truth to that. I mean, well, there was a right before I left, so this was in 1996, I guess. Guns was rehearsing at this place called The Complex in Santa Monica. And Zach had come down. I've always been, buddies with Zach, but in the sort of context of Guns N' Roses, it was a weird kind of thing. And it was just, but we jammed for a little bit, and then it just, not because of Zach, but just in general, it just wasn't working. And pretty soon after that, I was gone.
Yeah, I think Axl called it a two-headed snake. There were two really good guitar players going at it at the same time.
Yeah, well, it's just I think it was one of those desperate moves at a time when something needed to happen. It was just this crazy idea that happened, but I think it would have been a little bit over the top if me and Zach were out there fucking riffing out.
I got you.
It's cool, nonetheless.
No, that would have been kick ass. Well, listen, man, thanks so much for the time. July 26th at Caesars Windsor with Miles County, the Conspirators, and I'm going to see you in think louder than life down there in Louisville with GNR. So I really appreciate you calling back too, and I can't wait to hear some new stuff from Guns N' Roses maybe next year, eh?
Yeah, man, it's all happening. All right, listen, Meltdown, it's good to talk to you, and maybe we'll see you at some point soon. Yeah,
you got it, Slash. Thanks so much for the time, man.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
cheers.
Bro.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There you have it, Slash, on the program today, talking Rock and Meltdown. Seems like I've talked to him quite a bit recently. And, of course, like I said, going off on tour, doing the whole thing with Miles Kennedy and whatnot, a couple of Guns N' Roses festival dates here and there. I may have to make it down to Louisville. I think we talked about this before as far as the Louder Than Life festival. Yeah. It's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
I was down there the one day, and it was like, cold and rainy and kind of muddy and stuff. The next day was sunny and beautiful. So yeah. It's like,
Have you been to it multiple times or just the once?
Just the once.
Just the once?
Yeah. Yeah, just one time, but hey, that was enough, and it was pretty cool, so I might have to head down there. Scheduling sometimes, and you got a busy life like mine. I can't get down there, but it's like a 6-hour ride, so you leave at 6 a.m. get down there by lunchtime, you see all the shows.
It's really not too bad. I know you're big, you like the festivals too. Did you make it down to Sonic Temple at all?
I did not, because I had too much stuff going on here with kids hockey games and stuff like that.
You've had a pretty big stretch. I mean, you've made it down a lot.
Yeah, I think out of the 10 or 11 years of Sonic Festival / Rock in the Range, I think I've been there 5 or 6 times. So, it's kind of cool. But anyways, the festivals are really cool if you get a chance to go see them. They used to do this in Europe a lot. But now it's like one of those things where it's like they kind of brought that same template over here to the United States.
Yeah.
And Rock in the Range is kind of different because you got the set stage that's inside the stadium. Then you got smaller stages outside the stadium. So, so you go inside and outside. And it's an outside stadium. So you get the picture. You got to walk inside the seating and whatnot. And so then at Louder Than Life, when I was down there, it was kind of cool because they have the two stages side by side. So while a band's playing on one stage, they're getting ready for the next stage.
Right.
And I remember talking to Paul O'Neill. Steve Black brought this up last time when we were talking about this. That Paul O'Neill with Trans-Siberian Orchestra, he was always thinking bigger and better and louder and the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they kept wanting him to play this festival over in Germany years ago with TSO. And he's like, well, how about if we do this? I will do it if you give us both stages. So they played, TSO played on both stages.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
So that's really cool.
They practice like in different rooms and stuff.
I do like that setup though, where they've got multiple stages and then when one goes off, they can just switch to another.
Right.
They used to do that when Ozfest used to have two stages in the parking lot. They would alternate the two. Or we had Orion Fest here in the Motor City that they had three stages or more? A bunch of stages, but as soon as one would drop off, another one would start.
You have to run to the other side of the venue, the grounds and whatnot. So that was a cool festival, man. What a great weekend that was, too. But unfortunately, I think Metallica lost a little bit of cash on that one, so they decided to kind of stop.
Yeah, I think that was actually like the second Orion Fest, right? I think they had one in Atlantic City, maybe?
Yeah, Atlantic City.
Yeah, it didn't do well there either. So
anyways, let's get to the news here. You got Slipknot, and that was... what is the deal with this? So the song that they originally released is not going to be on the record?
Yeah, so Corey Taylor is in Slipknot mode, obviously Knot Fest, new album on the way, all good news. All Out Life was our first taste of the new album, right? That was the lead single, as it turns out. No, that's not going to be on the album.
Where is it going to be? I don't understand.
It's just its own thing. Yeah, Corey Taylor says that All Out Life is not going to be on the album from the standpoint that it was kind of its own thing. He really just put that out to let people know that we weren't gone. So still looking forward to the new album coming out, All Out Life. I mean, it's a single. It's out there. You can download it. You could, you know, buy just the single or whatever. But and then as far as, of course, We Are Not Your Kind is the name of the new album, which is the officially lead single from the new record. He said they didn't actually plan on naming the album that. They really, in his mind, he thought that would make a cool chant, like getting 50,000 people to chant, you know, We Are Not Your Kind. And then somehow it mutated into the name of the album.
So he was going to name the record Hydrograd.
Probably,
so,
yeah.
Hydrograd 2.
Yeah, exactly. But, of course, the new record is on the way in August. So, August 9th.
All right, cool. And so, you know, speaking of music and writing and whatnot, so the Rolling Stones and the Verve had this thing going on with the one song, Bittersweet Symphony, which is the Verve's only big hit. I mean, I can't think of one other song they've done, but I love that song.
Yeah, it's a great song. It's an anthem of the 90s. And for those who aren't familiar with it, Bittersweet Symphony actually features what was supposed to be a five-note segment of an orchestra cover of Rolling Stones' 1965 song, The Last Time. And they worked out an agreement that they were supposed to split the royalties 50-50, the Rolling Stones and Richard Ashcroft, who had the writing credit for the Verve's Bittersweet Symphony. But the problem was, when they released the song, they used a longer than agreed upon segment of the song. So they filed a plagiarism suit. Rolling Stones won and were getting 100% of the royalties of the band's only song.
You know? And so, wait a second, hold on. So now, all of a sudden, Mick Jagger goes and has heart surgery, has a change of heart.
Yes, exactly.
And decides, you know what, let's just give this poor guy some money.
So the Rolling Stones have returned the Bittersweet Symphony writing credits to Richard Ashcroft of the Verve.
I understand why they do this, because obviously you don't want people, you know, going around stealing their songs. And then other people say, well, you know what, the Rolling Stones are so rich and they're so loaded, why don't they just give this poor guy the money? And I think that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, well, that also kind of goes back to you know, all those years ago, Metallica going up against Napster, and they were going up against piracy and people stealing music. And yeah, Metallica didn't need the album sales, but they were standing up for the up and coming bands.
Right.
You know, that's, I mean, they had the clout to make a big stink out of it. Yeah, they didn't need it, but they were really defending the other bands that didn't have the income. You know?
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. And that's kind of how I got in that talk with Dee Snider for the PMRC business, because, you know, Dee said he felt like he was up there fighting the PMRC all by himself.
Right.
And Lars kind of felt the same way.
Right.
And so we were talking about that in a previous podcast back in February.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, Metallica and Lars Ulrich in particular took a lot of heat for that.
Yeah, they did.
You know,
and all these years later, it's kind of, you know, come to be true. So
yeah.
Anyways, speaking of a guy that really doesn't need any writing credits,
another rich musician,
maybe one of the richest on the planet.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about a Beatle. So
yeah. Now I wonder if there's anyone richer than Paul McCartney as far as music wise on the planet.
You know what? I don't know. There could be. We could look it up, but that, I think that qualifies as a follow-up question.
No, and there's no follow-up question.
None allowed.
Hang on. It's not a follow-up question if you didn't even tell the story yet. This is like a leading question.
I have to amend the rules. How about no questions at all? Just don't direct any. Yeah.
That's a question in itself.
Perfect.
So,
are the Beatles, by the way, one of the exceptions to your the rule?
Yeah.
Bands that are the?
Yeah. I'm not crazy about bands with the word the in the titles. So,
yeah, but the Beatles are...
It's not the AC/DC or the Black Sabbath.
What about the Rolling Stones, since we talked about that?
Not a huge Rolling Stones fan.
Okay, no. So the Beatles are pretty much where you draw the line.
Yeah, the Beatles and the.
Yeah.
It's like, as far as that...
Sorry, the Verve.
the Verve.
Take back those writing credits. Give them a meltdown.
It's like, is it Stone Temple Pilots or the... It's Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, I got you.
You know, anyways. But anyways, go ahead. So Paul McCartney's... what is he doing?
Yeah, Paul McCartney, all the talk we just had about the Beatles, this has got nothing to do with the Beatles. He announced a reissue of four of his live albums from his solo career. So probably some Wings stuff, like Amoeba gig, Choba, Wings Over America, and a few others as well. And they're going to be coming out on digital CD. And they're also, if you're looking to add to your collection, Meltdown, they're going to be doing standard black vinyl, but also some limited edition color vinyl. I don't know if you're into that or not. But some of these, it's spanning everywhere from the 1970s through 2007. And it looks like they're going to be releasing these July the 12th.
All right, so I won't be buying these.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Why is that?
Because I am...
it's the Paul McCartney?
Right, the Paul McCartney's. I'm just the Wings. Just doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a huge Beatles guy, right? Mm-hmm. And I love the later Beatles. Like what I like to call the drug induced Beatles, like from the mid 60s
years.
On. Yeah. You know, I thought that was great, right? So anyways, then when I got into vinyl, I the only record I don't have is Band on the Run, or that the one that I want. Mm-hmm. I don't have that one yet, but I've got other ones and I just don't dig them. I'm just not into them.
Sure.
That's just not my thing. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Maybe because he needs that Lennon thing going with him.
Yeah, speaking of the Beatles in the later years, didn't Sgt. Pepper just have an anniversary or something like that?
Every year it has one.
Yes, yeah, I know. But like we're talking like within the last few days, I think it had an anniversary.
Yeah, it's possible.
I think so. I think I remember
it was 20 years ago today that it's taught the band to play. Anyways, Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play. There you go.
There you go.
So, I don't know. I'm just not a huge solo McCartney guy. And it's like, that's on the other side, though, I do like a lot of John Lennon's solo stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I do have to get one of George Harrison's records. I'm trying to remember the name of it off the top of my head, but I can't. It's supposed to be a classic, so I got to get that one. All Things Must Pass, I got to get that.
Yeah.
So anyways, and finally today, we'll talk a little bit about Ozzy, another guy who's not lacking in the cash department.
Yeah, exactly. A bunch of rich Brits on the show today. But,
yeah.
Black Sabbath did their final tour. They wrapped everything up. They went back to their hometown of Birmingham, England for that final show. The thing is, though, Ozzy regrets the fact that Bill Ward was not a part of the tour and specifically that final show. He says that people put it down to me, but it wasn't me. Honestly, we didn't have the effing time to hang around. He said, we had to keep going and sorry that it didn't work out with Bill. But he has kind of put it out there that he would actually like to get all of the guys from Black Sabbath back together for one final show with the actual original lineup. You know, get Geezer and Tony and Bill Ward. And he would like to do, I don't know if it's going to happen, but Ozzy would like to do one more.
Yeah, I wonder where that would be. Probably in Birmingham.
Probably back in England, I would think. Because I like the way, I like that. Yeah, I would love to be there for the final show, but go back to your hometown for that last one. I like that concept.
Yeah, that'd be good. I mean, I had a chance to meet all of them when they were touring back in, 1998, and they were doing this this really cool promotional tour, and it's like Black Sabbath is in like Harmony House down in, downriver here in Taylor, Michigan.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, this is so cool. The line was like so long. Bands don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
So I remember interviewing Geezer that day, as a matter of fact. So, hey, coming up for you next, I got Roy Mayorga coming up, which will be really cool as far as the pod is concerned.
Yeah.
And I got some questions from Chow, his bandmate in Stone Sour. He says, tell him Vafunkulu. Okay, all right. And also ask him about the nickname The Spiller, so we'll have to ask him about that stuff.
Yeah, and then the next episode brought to you by Google Voice and try and do some translation or something.
that's Italian. So, anyhow, I'll give your socials there.
Albeck Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And if you want to leave a voicemail, a feedback, whatever it is, 248-586-2973. And thank you so much for checking out the episode today and Meltdown WRIF at Talking Rock with One. And we'll do it like I said, all over again real soon with Roy, who's now taking over the seat in Hell Yeah, as far as that band's drumming is concerned. So that's coming up on the next episode of Talkin' Rock.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.